We've got a special service here, and it's fantastic to have all the kids with us. Welcome, children. You all welcome here. You're welcome here in die kerk. And this morning is a special service. We've called it the 3B Sunday service, the baptism, the baby dedication, and don't forget the boereworsbraai afterwards. That's the yummy part, but this is the exciting part. And so we got the privilege of baptizing a few people this morning. And I remember probably about, when was it, about 2 years ago, I got a call out of the blue from my dad. It's one evening, about 8:30 in the evening. My dad phones me, and I'm kind of half asleep, as I normally am at about 8:30 in the evenings. And I get this phone call, my dad's phoning me. So I answer, hi dad. He says, yes, Richard, tell me about baptism. And I tell you, that blew me away. You know, my dad and them have been serving the Lord for many, many years. And we've been trusting them that they, at some stage, would come to that point where they are ready to be baptized. And he caught me completely off guard. And you know, I was like, I said, "Doe, gaan haal my Bible, gaan my pa wil praat oor die doop." And I remember kind of just sharing with my dad just the few basic things that I knew about baptism. And he said, "I want you to baptize me." And it was really one of the most special times for me. And so in the run-up to the baptism, we were kind of talking about it as a family, and we told the kids, "Opa gaan Sondag gedoop word. Grandpa's going to get baptized." And I remember young William saying to us on the Monday before the Sunday, he said to us, "Maiva ook gedoop word. He also wants to be baptized." And we kind of looked at each other. We thought, sure, you know, my dad's 70, my son is 5. They both have the same names, William. And me and Jolene spoke, and we said, you know, do you think he's ready for this? And so, as I shared with you, we've been talking about the Bible for a long time, and he loves the Johannes die Doper story. So we've kind of practiced Johannes die Doper. We've actually doped him many times at home, kind of on the bed, you know. And dis hoe jy gedoop word. And so, in many ways, he knew what it was, you know, to be baptized. And so we asked him the question, "William, what happens? What does it mean to get baptized?" And he said, "Die ou William gaan dood en die nuwe William staan op." He said, "Dis reg. Dis reg." So, on that Sunday, I had the privilege of not just baptizing my father, William, but my son William as well. One of the most special days in my life. And why I'm telling you that story is because we've got some more young people this morning that want to be baptized. We've got Tian and Matthew and Chloe. Is Chloe here as well? Where's Chloe? I say achter. And I think Robin. Is Robin here? So? Robin, jy gaan ook gedoop word. A lot of young people that have decided and said, "I want to be baptized." And so we praise the Lord for that step of obedience. I'm just wanting to share one or two short little things here about baptism. You know, you may ask the question, who may be baptized? May these kids be baptized? Or is there some precondition to being baptized? And we find the answer here in Acts 8:37, where the Ethiopian eunuch is on the chariot, and Philip catches up to him, and he asks him, "What you're reading?" And he says, "I'm reading Isaiah." And he asks him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he says, "No, come up on the chariot and explain it to me." And he asked him, "What is this about?" And the word says, Philip preached Jesus to him. And they came to a place where there was water, and he says, "What stops me from getting off the chariot here and being baptized?" And Philip said, "Nothing." He said, "The only thing you need to do is believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Son of God." And the eunuch said, "I believe with all my heart and confess that Jesus is the Son of God." And so, young manna, Tian, Matthew, Chloe, waar is Chloe? Jylle moet hier voor, kom sit. Robin, you can come. Okay, is reg, dis reg. Okay, so Matthew, Tian, jy is reg, ne? Awesome. Okay, Robin, jylle kan vir my sommer daar voor gaan staan, jylle tweekies. I've got no space in the arms, there's kids everywhere. En so ek wil vir julle drie jong mense vra. Daar's net een vraagie wat ek vir julle wil vra is: glo julle met julle hele hart dat Jesus die Seun van God is. Amen, dis die regte antwoord. En dan het ons die voorreg om vir julle te doop vanoggend. So ek gaan vir julle vra, gaan jy eerste kom? Wie wil eerste kom? Gaan jy eerste kom? Das het, laat die pastoor eerst uit baadjie uittrek hier, so anders. Now people, we've gone easy on them. This is heated water, so it's pretty much like a bath. In this Sias se dooppad, Pastor Sias van Stellenbosch, they built this thing on a farm. So it's pretty homemade. It's pretty rough around the edges, but it does the job. So Stefan's going to help me. Is jy reg, Stefan? Okay, kom ons help net gou so. Dis jy's Robin, né? Dis hy. Okay, kom ons help gou hierso. Dis hy. Maar kan jy net vir ons die kant toe draai? Sê, en jou voetjies hierso. Kan jy my hand hierso vashou en Stefan se sak? Is die kamera mense reg? Sê. Is die kinders reg? Robin, né? Robin, ons doop jou in die naam van die Vader, die Seun en die Heilige Gees. Sê, kom ons gee 'n lekker hande klap. Prys die Here. Chloe, kom jy? Chloe, ons bid jy, ons doop jou in die naam van die Vader, die Seun en die Heilige Gees. Ons gee lekker hande klap. Asai. Prys die Here, prys die Here. Okay. Is jy manne reg of hoe gaan ons dit na die tyd doen of later? Geen probleem nie. Kinders, het julle gesien wat gebeur het? Wat hier gebeur het, né? Die ou Chloe en die ou Robin het saam simbolies saam met Jesus gesterf in die water, né? En soos Jesus opgewek is deur die krag van die Heilige Gees, het hulle soos nuwe mense hier opgestaan. En dis wat gebeur. Hulle is nuwe mense en ons prys die Here daarvoor, né? Let's give them a hand. Al die kindertjies kan nou kinderkerk toe gaan en dan gaan ons net bid vir Chloe en vir Robin. As Chloe en Robin se familie is, as die ouers dalk hier so is om Johnny hulle vorentoe te kom. Ons gaan net gou voor of hulle bid. This is so powerful what's just happened. You know, it's one of the most powerful acts of obedience that we can take as Christians is to identify ourselves with Christ in death and in burial, but also in his resurrection. And people underestimate the power of baptism. You know, something significant in the spirit has just happened. And the Lord is so pleased. And in many ways, they are sealed as young people before the Lord. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for Chloe, God. We thank you, Lord, for this step of obedience. Here, ons dankie dat u haar hart tot 'n plek gebring het waar sy, Here, die stap geneem het, Lord, where she walked in obedience. And so, thank you, Father, for this young life, Lord, that's taken such a bold step for you. Bless her, protect her, keep her, Father God. We prophesy over her, Father, that she will serve you all the days of her life, God. She will not, Lord, succumb to the things of the world, but she will be a beautiful young woman in Christ, serving you, keeping herself, Lord, in purity, Father God, for your will, for your purposes, God. We bless this young lady, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you for her obedience, Lord. Lead her in your ways, Father, in Jesus' name.
Yes, Father, we just anoint her now. And we thank you, Father, that what has started in the Spirit today, Father, will just go from glory to glory. Thank you, Father, that this is the beginning, Father. Thank you that this is a new Chloe, Father. We come and we just say you're amazing, God. Thank you for what you've done in her life. Thank you for what she represents in her family. Thank you that this is only the beginning, Father, that others will follow in her family because of her example, Father. Amen. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name, yes. Father, we've opened.
Father, thank you that we can lay our hands on Robin this morning and dedicate her afresh to you. Father, thank you for saving her from wasted years.
Amen.
That from a young age, she can serve you with her whole heart. Lord, I pray that she will grow in stature, that Christ will become her whole life and whole purpose in life, that you will bless her abundantly, Father. Father, I pray that you will make her a joy in her household, for fathers and mothers and friends, and that you will never, ever be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
In Jesus' name. Robin, ek voel net die Here sê vir jou, He's made you a new creation this morning. Says to you, the old things are gone. He's made you new today. You're new before Him today. I also feel the Lord says He's going to raise you up as a light in your community to the other teenagers. Will speak boldly for Jesus. So thank you, Father, that you do something amazing today. Fill her with your spirit, Lord. Fill her with your spirit. That she may boldly proclaim your gospel. Thank you, Lord, that you transform her life today in Jesus' name. You will be a mouthpiece for me, says the Lord. You will speak of me boldly and not be ashamed. You will lead many to Christ in Jesus' name. God will raise you up powerfully to be His vessel, to be His instrument. We speak that over you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give them a hand. We now move on to the second B of the three Bs, and that's our baby dedication. So it's a wonderful privilege to dedicate Leah Esther van Riet. Waar is Leah en die ouers? Julle kan vorentoe kom. Prachtig, ek hoor sy is 3 maande oud, is het reg? As sy oulik. Welkom julle. Jolien gaan my help met die gedeelte. Julle kan net vir ons aan die kant kom staan. Dankie. So, need more space, yeah.
So firstly we want to welcome the family. Hoor hier ons oupas en oumas en baie familie in hierdie deel van die kerk. Welkom allemaal. Die wat ons besoek, baie welkom. So, a dedication of a baby is we come to that place when we as parents serve God and we get a baby and we tell God, we know that this baby is yours and we're committing ourselves to raising the baby in the ways of the Lord according to the word of God. Primarily, Leah Esther is God's child. She's entrusted to you for a short period on earth, whether it's 5 or 95 years. And we as parents say to God, we want to take care of your child. It's primarily God's child that we're taking care of. And the dedication of the babies are not something that the pastors thought it's a good thing to do. Even in the Bible, Jesus was dedicated. In Luke, I just quickly want to read the one scripture. Luke 2 verse 22, it says there that, and when the time for their purification, the mother's purification and the baby's dedication came according to the law of Moses, they, which is Maria and Joseph, brought Jesus up to Jerusalem and presented him to the Lord. So even Jesus as a baby was dedicated to God. So what we're going to do now is the people at the back is going to put up the dedication that we're going to read, or you as parents are going to read. And basically what it says, it's summarized in Deuteronomy 6. It says there, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is our God, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your mind and all your heart and your entire being. And these words which I'm commanding you this day shall be in your own minds and hearts, and you shall sharpen them so as to make them prostrate, and teach and impress them diligently upon the minds and hearts of your children." So teach them diligently upon the minds and hearts of your boy and Leah Esther. "You shall speak of them, talk of them, when you sit down in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up." So that's all we're doing. We're saying, God, this is your child. We're dedicating him to you. So you as parents can read that declaration.
Parents acknowledge and thank God for this precious gift he has entrusted to us. Before God and his people, we hereby dedicate our child to the Lord. We commit ourselves with God's help in partnership with the church to bring up our child in the love and instruction of the Lord. By word and example, we promise to teach our child the word of God, and with patience and love, we will build the character of Christ and the joy of the Lord in their lives. We will protect them from worldly claims upon their lives and make it our regular prayer that by God's grace, our child may walk in the abundant life that Christ offers.
Amen.
Amen. And as you saw, church, from our side, we're committing, and that's why Children's Church is such a high priority. We're committing to taking hands with them, and where we can, also be a partner in the discipleship of your children. So it's not a one-sided thing, although the primary responsibility of parenting is on you. We as a church also commit to raising her up and bringing her up in the ways of the Lord. So we're going to pray for now. Dankie, Johnny en Tani de Lesti. Julle ons weer kan join in die
opa en die oma. Getting the exercise this morning. Skies ook. Father, thank you that we can pray for Leah Esther this morning. God, I just felt you saying this morning that she's going to bring so much peace in this home. God, that she's going to be a blessing to this family, a blessing to her parents, a blessing to her siblings, Father. Thank you, God, that she will be raised up, Lord, in the abundant life, a of Christ, Lord. We know that the enemy's plans for all of us is to kill, steal, and destroy. But you have come to give us life and life in abundance. So we prophesy life in abundance over Leah Esther, Father. Lord, that she will be a joyful child, Father God. A blessing, Lord, to those around her, Father God. Pray your protection over her, Lord. Keep her, Lord, in all her ways, Lord. Commit her days to you, Father God. May she walk in the good works, Lord, that you have prepared beforehand. Before she was even born, Lord, you knew every day you fashioned it out for her that she should walk in that, Lord. And so we speak that she will walk in the perfect will of God. That she will be a blessing. And that she will be peace, Lord, to so many that need peace, Lord. In Jesus' name. Leah Esther.
Father God, first thing that comes into our minds when we pray the blessing on our children, Lord, we pray that they will be prosperous, that they will become rich, that they will be happily married. Father, but we come this morning and we pray her Jesus.
Amen.
That from a very, very young age, she will learn to know you and to love you with her whole heart. Lord, and just to protect her from all the things that the world offers her that are so attractive. But Lord, that she may see you and see the riches that you have for her. Father, pray for her parents. Lord, that you will bless them with wisdom how to guide this child in the paths and in the way that she should go following the Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord Jesus, I just thank you this morning for Leah, Father. Lord God, as you were in her mother's womb, Lord God, you show me that she's going to be an intercessor, Lord God. And I just bless her this morning, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Father God, for that you are so great and mighty, and still you can bless us with such beauty, Lord God, of a child. And we thank you for the blessing of a life, Lord God. I pray, Father God, that you will direct the steps, Lord. I pray, Father God, that you will lift the parents in such a way, Father God, to lead this baby, Lord God, closer to you, Lord God. Thank you, Father, that you are the creator of heaven and earth, and that we are grateful this morning for what's happening in this church, Lord God. Father, thank you for multiplication, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that this church and all these wondrous things belong to you, Father God. We bless your holy name. Father, I bless Lee. I bless her parents. I bless the grandparents, Lord Jesus, and all the family this morning that's around her, Lord God. May your name be glorified, amen. Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I've got a certificate here for you. There we go. Let's give them a hand. Bless you. Adel has just shared with me that he has an unction in the spirit that more people need to get baptized. So I'm going to leave that with you. We tend to want to do some more baptism at the end of the service. So I pray that the Lord will speak to you if you need to take that step of obedience. And we will baptize you gladly at the end of the service. One final thing that we need to do before I share the word this morning. It's not one of the B's, but it's important. We have had the MTP residential guys with us all year. Ebi and Jono and Valeska and Valerie. And they've been busy. I can put it that way. They've been very busy living up here for the past 11 months, being faithful, serving in this church. And many of you might not know them, but you would have seen them. They've been the guys behind the scenes doing all the hard work. And we've got the privilege of just asking them just to stand where they are this morning. If you guys will stand. You see, the servants always stand at the back. So that's them there at the back. Let's just stretch our hands out to them. JP, jy kan sommer daar agter gaan, of jy kan sommer daar staan, hulle sal vir jou wit. Let's just stretch our hands out to them. And we're just going to pray and send them this morning. Father, we thank you for these precious people, Lord, that you have sent, Lord, into our care this morning, Lord. God, we thank you for everything that's been established in their lives. We thank you, Father, for everything that you've built into them, God. Everything that you've spoken to them. Every foundation stone, Lord, that's been changed, Lord. That's been put into place, Lord. I just feel that you've come, Lord, and you've given them each a compass in the hand. And you've said, walk in this way. This is my purposes. This is the way you should walk in. So, Lord, we pray for their feet this morning, Lord. And we send them from this church. And we bless them from this church. And we say, go in the peace of the Lord. Go in the joy of the Lord. Go in the fullness of the Lord and go knowing that He's got His calling over your life. And so we bless them, we send them, and we declare, may God's face shine on them. May God arise on them and bless them and keep them. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys. You've been a blessing. Let's give them a hand. Wonderful. Thank you, band. You've been amazing. And sure, what an amazing service. I see Pastor T has sneaked one on me, and he's come to visit us without telling me. Wow, Tien, what a privilege to have you here, man. And we're going to be spending some time. I knew about tonight, but this is even better. It's just been so amazing to read about everything Tien is doing and how God's raised him up. And to see the photos, I see he's traveling a lot. And he's really doing what I believe God has called him to preach the gospel to the world. And we can't wait for tonight for you to share with us tonight, Tien. So thanks for joining us this morning. So I trust you've had a good week. I certainly have. I've got an announcement to make. There's a cricket team in this church, and we call the Shofar Barbarians. As you can see, you know, I epitomize that. I'm extremely barbaric, and we really scare off our opponents. But in all jest, something special happened on Friday. Apparently, we won the first game in 2 years. So I think that the Lord is taking us from glory to glory under our fearless leaders, Stefan and David. They're doing an amazing team. We don't practice, we just play. I don't know if that's extremely biblical, but we'll go with that. And we've imported some help there from Peniel. It's all legal. It's Wim Vernon's son. But I don't know if they're here this morning. But yeah, those guys can bowl and bat like nobody's business. So yeah, lots of fun. We play the champions this coming Friday. So I don't know what's going to happen. But you can pray for us. You can come support us. It's going to be lots of fun. We play at Groot Drakenstein Cricket Club. And so this morning, we've got a message up there called Looking Ahead to 2018. And essentially what I'm wanting to share with you this morning is some vision, some planning for next year. And I shared this with the leaders about 3 weeks ago, and I got some input from our leaders. And that was wonderful input, got their suggestions, changed a few things. And then a couple of them felt I needed to share this with you as well. And so I have the privilege to share in essentially where I believe the Lord is leading us in 2018. So it's called Looking Ahead. And the subtitle is called Catching Fish and Feeding Sheep. It's all going to make sense in a few minutes. But essentially what I'm wanting us to do is to go a little higher and kind of peek into 2018, where I believe the Lord is leading us. And I remember many years ago, it was when Ratanga Junction just opened. Who's all been to Ratanga Junction? Most of us. I see most of the old people have been. They've got those loyalty cards and they go on the Cobra over and over again. But most of us have been to Ratanga Junction, or we know about Ratanga Junction. I remember when it just opened, it was very exciting, and we heard about this amazing theme park that's coming to Cape Town. And me and one of my friends, we went to Ratanga Junction, and man, it was like a treat. And one of the things, one of the rides that we did or took part on was called the Slingshot. Has anybody heard of the Slingshot? Anybody taken part? Who's done the Slingshot? Let's see. Oh, only three of us. Okay, so that says everything. Okay, so the slingshot, if you can go to that first slide, don't go to the second slide, but go to that first slide. This is essentially the slingshot. They strap you in this harness that apparently is quite safe. You sign a few forms with a lot of small print that's actually too small to read. And then they put you in this harness, and it's kind of got this this bar in the front that kind of holds everything together. And then there's this pole about 50 meters behind it. And you kind of get put in this harness, and this cable starts pulling you higher and higher and higher and higher and higher and higher. And if I mention higher and higher. And eventually, I remember me and my friend, we strapped into this thing, and we're like all, you know, excited, and we're giggling, and we're chattering, and it's like, this is going to be so amazing. And as we're going higher and higher, we talk less and less, and our eyes start going wider and wider, and eventually, on this chip still. And people, we were like, I don't know how many meters high, but we had this panoramic view. I don't even want to say of the Cape Town. It was like of the Western Cape. You know, you kind of like saw into Sierras and into Franschhoek, and you know, kind of nearly saw into South America. It was seriously high. It was like Blouberg was down there, and Table Mountain was over here. It was seriously high. And then I remember this. There was this guy at the bottom shouting through one of these bull's horns, but it's so high that you can't hear anything that he's, you know, shouting. He's just beep, 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 a little voice, and kind of the wind's blowing it away, and you realize, okay, now you are at God's mercy. And it's one of those things where you don't know. It's not one of those things where you pull and then you go down. You wait until they decide to pull. And I think they were trying to tell us kind of, are you ready? And we didn't know what they're saying, so you're just waiting, and all of a sudden, you just, the earth swallows you up. And, you know, you pay a lot of money to go on something like this, and it's meant to be fun. But there's a picture, if you go to the next picture, which kind of describes. That looks like fun, doesn't it? If you look at those people, I mean, they look absolutely terrified. So that's the slingshot. And if you haven't done it, go and do it. I'm sure I've motivated you to go and do it. But the reason why I'm telling you this story is, essentially, what we're doing this morning as a church, we're going up in the slingshot a little bit this morning. I promise not to release it too quickly. In fact, for this morning, I'm not going to release it. We're all just going to go slightly higher, and we're going to peek, and we're going to get a bit of an aerial view of what I believe the Lord is laying on the leadership, on mine, Jolene's heart, for what's in store for us for 2018. And so, to be able to look into the future and know where God wants to take you, I believe you need to know where He's brought you to and what He's just said to you, what He said to you in the past. And so I want to go back to the first scripture, the first kind of short message I shared with you when I came here. You know, when Pastor Heinrich and Tienz, when we started having the discussions around me coming here, one of the first things that we did was we kind of spoke to you, and I kind of came here one Wednesday evening, and they kind of tested me and saw whether I could preach. And so they said, bring a short word, you know, no pressure. I think Tienz gave me like one day before the time, you know, he kind of, you know, tested me a little bit. And I said, Lord, what must I share with this church? It's really important. It's the first thing that I'm sharing with your people, with your flock here in Franschhoek. And the Lord spoke to me clearly, said, share John 21 with them. And so I think you will remember, many of you were here that night. And so I'm wanting to go back to that word, because I believe if the Lord has spoken, we need to really open our ears and our eyes to what He's already said to us before we decide where we are going. Because obviously what He said to us is important for where we're going. And so if you have your Bibles with me, you can turn to John chapter 21. It's on the screen as well. And I'll read it for us. John 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana and Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We are going with you also." They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" And they answered him, saying, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and he plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came into the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have just caught." Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to the land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, "Come and eat breakfast." And so what I want us to do, I've done this before, but I feel it's important just to touch on it again. I want us to unpack this piece of scripture, which I believe the Lord is saying is important for us to understand. And the word is saying you're after these things, which means we need to understand there's a context to the story, which means something's just happened. And that which has just happened is the fact that Jesus has just died. Jesus has just died, and Mary Magdalene and some of the disciples, they've come to an empty tomb. They've found Jesus. Well, they haven't found Jesus. They've found an empty tomb. The angels have appeared to some people. And then Jesus once or twice started appearing to the disciples, saying very little, not really interacting with these disciples. And so we need to understand this. This has been a traumatic experience for Jesus and his disciples. For 3 years, they've been ministering together. God has been using them powerfully. They've been doing signs, miracles, wonders. They've been seeing things that they've never seen in their lives. This man came and interrupted their lives, saying, "Leave your businesses, leave your practice, Luke. Leave being a doctor, follow me. Matthew, tax collector, follow me. Come, follow me. Simon, Peter, John, James, leave the fishing, follow me. I'm going to make you a fisher of men." And so their lives got changed radically in a very short space of time. And Jesus becomes famous in a very short space of time. And so this was like a really, really intense experience that they've just been through. So after these things, it's after those 3 years, we catch up with the story of here. And so let's look at this. Jesus shows himself at the Sea of Tiberias. That's the Sea of Galilee, the smallest sea. So it's where Jesus began his ministry. He comes back to where he began his ministry, and the disciples are there. And now you can think, what's going on in the disciples' hearts? This ministry has just been stopped abruptly. In fact, they nearly lost their lives for being part of that ministry. And so where do we find Simon, Peter, and John, and James, and these guys again? They're back doing their old work. What they'd originally done. What their hands knew what to do. And Simon, Peter says to them, "I'm going fishing." They're saying, "We're going with you." And that night they caught nothing. And they went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Now, I shared this at prison ministry on Thursday, I know what it's like to go fishing and catch nothing. Okay, I must have been about 10 years old, and my grandfather and my dad decided to spoil us, and we were in Port Elizabeth on holiday, and we used to fish off the rocks a little bit, but they decided, no, all the men, all the boys, we're going to hire one of these charter boats, we're going to go deep sea fishing, and we're going to go and catch us some big fish. And man, we were excited, and you know, you get up at like about 3 o'clock in the morning, and it's dark, and you come in there into the harbor and you get onto this boat and the boys are so excited and, man, I just can't wait out to get out there and catch some big fish, man. And we kind of chug out of the harbor and you kind of go around the pier, kind of where the harbor's protected, and it's beautiful, kind of the sun is just starting to rise, you know. But there's these kind of these little waves that you kind of go over. And I remember kind of standing there and like standing on the railing, kind of like feeling like the Titanic, you know, like, wow, this is amazing. And we start going over these waves, you know, and we start going over some more waves. And all of a sudden, I start feeling a bit of an uneasiness. Ongemakkelijkheid, hier so onder in my maag, in my stomach. And I'm like, ooh, this is a bit funny, but I'm going to go catch some big fish. And the feeling starts getting more intense and more intense, and the lights start getting further and further away. And all of a sudden, there's something that erupted from deep down inside. And the word talks about deep crying out to deep. And we're in the deep, and deep starts crying out to deep. And ek begin brul soos 'n leeu. And we start giving the fish some extra food that wasn't planned. And I'm being a bit graphic, but that's what happened. And my fishing experience starts becoming a fishing nightmare. Man, and I didn't catch one fish. I didn't catch one fish because I was down, man. It's not like the captain packs in like a spare mattress for those that get seasick. You lie on the corrugated iron sides of the boat with the bolt sticking up, you know. And I was just lying there and kind of craning and just holding my stomach, pleading to God for mercy. And I remember one of my friends that was fishing with me, he was still standing there laughing at me, kind of like, you know, oh, kyk hoe siek word jy, and he's just wanting to, you know, kind of throw in his next line, and ewe skielik gooi hy ook a streep daar in die water. And so eventually a couple of us started getting sick. I think eventually the captain thought, okay, these guys, these are novices, let's get them back to shore. And I praise God, when I think I still kissed the ground when I came back to shore. The point is, I know what it's like to catch nothing. And that night, these hardened, trained fishermen that have been fishing these waters since they were lighty, since they were small kids, they work the whole night and they catch nothing. So you can imagine kind of their state, you know, been working, been grafting the whole night, throwing the net in and out, and there's nothing. And we see Jesus steps into the picture and he calls from the shore and he says, children, have you any food? And they say, no. And he says to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat. And you can kind of imagine that the word says they were 200 cubits. That's 91 meters from the shore. So you can't exactly see who's standing there. It's probably still slightly dark. And so they say, look, we don't know who the stranger is that's calling out there from the shore. But, you know, if he's telling us to go for the right, you know, we've caught all nothing. Let's listen to the stranger. Maybe he saw a fish jumping or something. So they throw the net out there where they've just been fishing all night. And the word says, kind of the boat is nearly sinking. And the amazing thing that happens, nobody tells them that this is Jesus. But the word says, therefore, that the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, this is John writing this, okay? John's writing this story and he's saying, the disciple whom Jesus loved, that's me, John, said to Peter, it is the Lord. He recognizes Jesus by the miracle that's just taken place. So they know that a miracle has just taken place. All night they've been fishing. They know these waters. All of a sudden their boat is nearly sinking. And they remember, who's done this before? Who's told us that right there where we've just been fishing, throw it on the other side of the boat, and you can nearly not contain the fish. It's Jesus. And they cry out to Jesus. And I shared last time, there's a bit of humor for me in this story. And it's like Peter realizes this, it's Jesus. And I don't know if it's just me that finds this funny. But the word says, now when Peter heard that it was the Lord, he puts on all his clothes and he jumps into the sea. And one day when I get to heaven, I'm saying, Peter, why did you put on all your clothes before you jumped into the sea? And the rest of the disciples, they come in slowly on the little boat. And you just need to, I think, understand Peter's personality. He's over the top. He's just so excited. It's not like I would have taken off my clothes and swam out. He puts on all his clothes. He nearly drowned, I would imagine. Eh? And he swims out to Jesus. He wants to get there faster. Even in the story before,
You know, when they found the empty tomb, John writes about him and how him and Peter, they basically race each other to the tomb. And then John writes, I came there first. You know, so there was this constant struggle. And it says, and the disciple whom Jesus loved outran the other disciple. And so we see this kind of this interpersonal tension that's playing off between Peter and John. And Peter's going for it. He's swimming to Jesus. He wants to get to Jesus. And then something happens. And there's a scene that's set that I'm wanting us to have a look at. And I did this last time as well. But Jesus says to him, come, eat breakfast. And Jesus got a little fire going over there. And I did my little fire thing last time as well. But so here's the fire that this one William drew. Is this the right way? No, this way. There's the flames. This is Margaret's fire. As you can see, everything's pink, you know. So in our lives, everything needs to be pink. So when I make a fire, she'll say to me, Papa, can you work a pink fire, Mark? So that fire is not good enough. So she wants a pink fire. So I asked them to draw a fire for me. So we've got a little fire going over here. And I'll put it over there for us. And Jesus got a bit of a braai going over there. It's my little kamp braai rooster. And he's got some fish that's on the... On the fire there, and there's some coals there, and there's some bread that's over there. And so we've got this scene that's set over here, and the two main people that's in the scene is Jesus and Peter, okay? So they're kind of sitting over here, and there's a couple of other disciples that are sitting around as well. And then a conversation takes place, and I'm wanting us to just quickly read that conversation. I call it the love conversation. It's actually three conversations that's taking place here. And Jesus knows that this is going to be a tough conversation. You see, the last time that Jesus and Peter spoke, it was around the fact that Peter said, I'll never deny you. And so I've gone and looked. I can't see another conversation again after that, specifically between Jesus and Peter. And so a lot has happened. Jesus has died. He's risen again. He's appeared once or twice to the group of disciples. But it doesn't seem like Jesus and Peter has ever caught up after their last conversation. And the last conversation went pretty much like, you know, Peter, you know, you're going to deny me. And Peter's like, Lord, I will never, ever deny you. I will never deny you. And we know the story when push came to shove and a slave girl challenges him and says, but your accent is like the one who's being crucified, who's being tortured. Peter starts backing off and says, I don't know the man. And when somebody else starts challenging him and saying, but you're one of them. You're one of them. He says, I swear to you, I don't know that man. Three times he denies Christ. And then the rooster crows and Peter remembers Jesus' words. And he's grieved. And so you kind of have to put yourself in Peter's shoe. This is a passionate disciple. This is a disciple who claimed and said, I will go with you. Wherever you go, Jesus, I will go with you. But he denied Christ. And so he had a lot to deal with. He had a lot to deal with the fact that he'd let Jesus down. And I don't know if he ever thought that he'd get a chance to speak to Jesus again. And so now you can imagine his excitement when he realizes Jesus on the shore and he's swimming out to Jesus. And now they have this conversation. And I said to the guys on Thursday, it's amazing. It says, when they had eaten breakfast, toe hulle magies vol was, begin die manne praat. And I don't know about you men, but I suffer from hanger pains. That's now a combination of being hungry and angry. Because you normally get angry because you're hungry. Does anyone get hangry? Okay, there's a few of you. The rest are saints. Okay, but when my blood sugar drops, then I tend to become slightly kort van lont. You know, I'm slightly irritable, and so it's amazing how Jesus realizes that they're going to have this tough conversation, and he gives them food to eat, and then they have the conversation. And so the conversation goes something like this. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than this? And he's pointing to the 153 large fish that are lying there. He's saying, Simon, do you love me more than these fish? Do you love me more than what you know what to do? And Peter said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. Jesus says again to him a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter says to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. By this time, the disciples on the right-hand side, you can see their eyes are starting to get a bit big because in the Hebrew culture, you know, when you ask a question once and you get the answer that you kind of expected to respond, that's enough. When you start asking it a second time, it starts getting slightly uncomfortable. And I think the other disciples that are standing around, that they realize something's going down here. Jesus is trying to make a point. And Jesus said to them, to Peter, tend my sheep. And then we kind of get this really, really uncomfortable third time question. He says to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? By this time, it's chipped still. And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. And so there's three conversations that are going on here in this passage of scripture that we've just kind of unpacked. And the first one has got to do around fishing. Around fishing. Remember the title of this morning's sermon is Catching Fish and Feeding Sheep in the context of what we're going to be doing in 2018. Catching fish and feeding sheep. And so in this story, fish is a major principle. And just as Jesus has taught them many times to catch the fish, once again, they're catching fish. Fish is the object of their discussion. They remember the day that Jesus stepped into their lives and said, you're no longer going to catch these things. You're going to catch men. Follow me. I will teach you to catch men. And so the whole thing of catching men, of catching women for the gospel is featuring strongly in this kind of this last conversation that they have with Jesus again. It featured right in the beginning when he called them, and now it's featuring right at the end. They're speaking fish terminology again. The second thing that's taking place here is a love conversation. So the first thing is a fish conversation. They know that fish doesn't just mean fish. Fish means people. The second thing is a love conversation. And so it's interesting. Jesus asked Peter three times, do you love me? Because three times Peter denied Christ. And so this is an important conversation. It's an important conversation, and it's got to do with love. It's got to do with the response to love. What does that love look like? And so it doesn't get clearer than this. Jesus is saying, by default, to all of us this morning as well, Peter, do you love me? Peter says, yes. He says, feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Tend my sheep. Peter, do you really love me? Yes, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Feed my lambs. And so the third conversation is a shepherding conversation, a sheep conversation. The first one is a fish one. The second one is a love one. And by default, we're having a shepherding conversation. And so what I'm wanting to say to us as we're going slightly higher today, as I'm peaking, as the leadership is peaking into 2018, what do I believe the Lord is saying to us? He's wanting us to have a conversation around our calling to be fishers of men and women. He's wanting to know, do we really love Him? Do we really know the love of Christ? Do we really understand it? And if we understand it, what will 2018 look like? What will we be busy with? What will our small groups look like? What will we be praying for? What will we be discussing in church? What fire needs to start burning in our hearts? And the third thing I believe He would ask us is, if you love me, do you listen and obey my word? And then go feed my sheep, tend my sheep, and feed my lambs. What does that mean? What does it mean? All this fishing lingo, all this shepherding jargon. What does all of this mean? Jesus spoke in parables to people that understood those industries that were shepherds, that were fishermen. And so if we just unpack this whole thing of shepherding, I believe we all understand what it means to be fishers of men, fishers of women, and our call that we all meant to go and do what my kids sing, Visvang for Jesus, Visvang. They sang it this way, Visvang for Jesus elke dag, Bible in die hand, kaafoot in die sand, Visvang for Jesus elke dag. They know it from a young age, fishing for Jesus. So we know what it means to fish for Jesus. I would imagine all of us, if we were challenged this morning, if Christ walked into here and had to ask each one of you, do you love me? I believe everybody here would say, I love you, Lord. And then the challenge would be, what does that love look like? Does it translate into this final thing, the shepherding conversation? Now, my grandfather, he had a sheep farm in the northeastern Cape. And man, he was a great sheep farmer. He was a national judge. He did these merino sheep for their wool. And I think he was one of seven judges. And he say Rama had paar competitions gewen. And he even went on the boat to Australia to go and get a stud there and bring it back and breed like top quality rams. He really, really knew how to farm and how to farm with sheep. And I have such memories. We used to go there at least twice a year, you know, school holidays, go to the farm. And just, I was around sheep a lot. I can still vividly remember kind of how they felt when you kind of like, sometimes challenged me to go and tackle a sheep. He used to work on my rugby skills as well, you know. And sometimes I'd go and have to tackle one of those big sheep, you know, which was lots of fun. But I remember kind of going into the shearing shed and going into the, and he barler, die vol barler, and playing in the wool. Yes, that's me. That's me. Thought you're laughing at my story. You're laughing at me. That's probably me, I would imagine, 9 or 10 years old. That's one of the Hans Lammerkies that he caught, had there near the at the house. And that's my grandfather was quite a man's man. So he smoked Gunston and drank J&B. That's a J&B bottle with milk in. So that's a J&B whiskey bottle. It's got some lekker melkies in. And skapies must ook alle melkies kry. And yeah. And so, man, I've got all these memories of kind of working with the sheep and playing in those vorbala and kind of, they must slightly oily the wool and kind of being covered in that and just the smell of you know, just a lot of sheep in one place. And three things that my grandfather, as a good shepherd, as a good sheep farmer, as a stockman, did. Number one, I remember going down nearly every afternoon and we went and counted the sheep. Okay? We went and counted the sheep, and like I said, you know, he smoked way too much Gunston cigarettes, those without filters. It's the most hardcore cigarette. He was quite a hardcore dude. In the 50s, he used to go elephant hunting in Rhodesia, you know. Back in the days when that was a manly expression, to go and hunt an elephant. You know, these days it's like you're a poacher. But in the 50s, there were lots of elephant, too many elephant. He'd disappear in the bush, you know, for 3 months at a time and just go track elephant and lion and buffalo, and absolutely loved the veld and the bush veld. You know, he would make recordings of the bush veld, and he'd come back to the farm, and then his treat at night was to sit there with a kopie boere troos, and he would play just the sounds of the bush and just listen and listen and listen. Loved the veld, loved animals, loved his sheep. And we would walk with him to the Skaap Krale. And I remember he would stand there with his, take out his little Gunston packet and his pen, and then the boys would count the sheep. They'd jump from one kraal to the next, and he would stand there, and he would count his sheep. Some people say we mustn't count our people in church. You know, it's don't count people. I say we count people because people count. And if a good shepherd knows exactly what's going on, a good farmer knows stock levels, what's going on. And so we encourage our leaders to know what's going on, to follow up our sheep, to know where, who's where, and who's doing what. And so the first thing he did, he'd count his sheep, okay? The second thing that he would do is he'd make sure that his sheep got a healthy diet. And so apart from the food that they would get, the lucerne and all those things, I remember getting in his big Ford truck and we'd drive around on the farm and it's like a groot salt lekker gehad, these big salt licks, you know. I don't know if Some of the farmers might know what I'm talking about. It was basically a big block of salt, and he'd kind of chuck it off the back of the bucky, and all these sheep would run, and they'd start licking the salt. And there's these other things. Molasses, you know. Sometimes I got stuck into the molasses, but they all laughed at me last time. But it's salty. It's like Marmite, but a bit of sugar in it or something like that. And these sheep would get a balanced diet, and that's why they won competitions. And so a healthy sheep has got a balanced diet. And so you guys really need to pray for me and Johnny and the leaders here, the preacher, so that we give you a healthy diet. And that's why it's so exciting when Tiens, he called me yesterday, says he's in town, he knows it's late, but can he share a word? I'm like, you're preaching tomorrow. Because we need the evangelists in town. I'm not a natural evangelist. The Lord is working on me to be an evangelist. But we need evangelists. We need teachers. We need prophets. That's why when Graham is sharing next week, we need the gift of the prophet. And so I'm trying to look at the preaching schedule. I'm trying to make sure you guys get a balanced diet. Tiens' spreadsheet last year, he worked it out, man. Who's preaching what week? And then he had another column there. And he said, this person is evangelist, this one's a teacher, this one's an apostle, this is a prophet. Percentages, man. Your previous pastor worked out your diet to the T. Luckily, I can just copy and paste that spreadsheet. But our sheep need a balanced diet to be healthy sheep. So that's the second thing. The first thing, you make sure that they're counted. The second thing, he makes sure that they've got a healthy diet. The third thing, we're talking about feeding sheep now, feeding sheep. The third thing that Jesus said to Peter, he said, tend my sheep. Feed my sheep, feed my lambs, and tend my sheep. What does it mean to tend sheep? To tend sheep, in my opinion, it means you bustle up, okay? And you give them, in a sense, what they need. Now, sheep need a whole bunch of things. I remember there on the farm, there'd be this concrete, like, hollow in the ground, and it was called the scarp dip, okay? So it's probably about this deep. It's got, like, a cementing that goes down, and then it's flat, and it's probably about that deep, and then it goes up again. And then these sheep would be herded into this thing, and they'd fill this thing up with water, and they'd take these big canisters of basically poison, but good poison for the stuff that it needs to kill. And so all the kind of the ticks and the fleas and the I don't know what sheep get, lice and all kind of things, parasites that would want to jump onto them. They walk through this dip. They don't like it at all. You know, they start blaring and they're very unhappy to go through this. And it smells funny, and I would imagine it itches a bit if you're a sheep. I've never had that experience. But so they go through this dip, and they come out the other side, and they're a bit unhappy, but it's good for them. And so sometimes the shepherd needs to give the inoculations and say, man, there's this new funny doctrine that's being preached, or there's this new fad, or this new fashion, or this new church that seems to be the thing, but it's not quite the truth. And Jesus warns us in the final days, people are going to come preaching stuff that's for the itchy ears. And so our jobs as shepherds and as leaders of this church is to make sure that we tend you. I remember my grandfather putting this thing on his back, like an old version of the camel back, the 1950s version, and the spite. He had this thing in his hand, this gun, and they'd open those sheep's mouths, and he'd stick it in there. They didn't like it at all, and he'd stick it deep down their throat, and he'd squirt them, and he'd give them their dupa, what they needed. And sometimes it's going to be like this. Jesus is saying, you love people, you count them, you feed them, you make sure that they're safe. And so that's we as leaders, we commit to being shepherds of you. But many of you are going to shepherd people next year as well. I really believe the Lord. I'm going to share now what the Lord has specifically asked us. But he's going to raise up a lot of shepherds sitting right over here. And the Lord is saying, you love me. Have a heart for my shepherd. Not for my sheep. Not just for my sheep. He specifically singles out the lambs. God wants us to look after the little ones, to feed them, to tend them. Jesus was passionate about children. He called the children close to him. And so children's church and children is going to be one of our main focuses next year. I'm going to share about that in a bit. And so if you ask me, Richard, you're jacking us up on this high slingshot today, and you're taking us high, and you're kind of making us see what 2018 potentially looks like if the Lord leads us in there. And I'm saying we're going to have three conversations next year. It's going to be around catching fish. And let me tell you, I'm not a natural fisherman, but the Lord has started a process with me last year, and He said, I'm going to make you, Richard, into a fisher of men. And I've been on a bit of a journey. And I'm going to start off next year by sharing around that. I'm going to start challenging us around becoming fishers of men. Some people will say, it's just Tiense's job and African Enterprise and Stephen Lunga and Angus Bucken and Reinhard Bonker. They're the big fishermen. Yes, they are the big fishermen. Did Jesus say they must just go and catch fish? No, He expects all of us to become fishers of men and women. So, that's the first thing that's coming. The second thing that He's led us on is this love conversation. And God is challenging us, and He's saying, do you understand my love? And I remember when Tiense asked me to share this message, I shared this scripture with you. And the week after that, Pastor Heinrich, our leader, introduced the topic for convergence that year. And the top of this year, and it was called, Where's the Love? I said, yes, Lord, I heard right. And so the theme for next year is known for love, hashtag known for love. And so if you will look at those things on the side there, that's not just stuff to make the church look pretty. That I see our light boxes aren't on today. JP, sit them some of the on for us. On the linkerkant, switch them on. Look at that. Hashtag known for love. That's not just up there because we needed something to put against the wall. That's the main thing, guys, for 2018. We can be known for many things in this valley. But will we be known for love? Because Jesus is saying, you love me, catch fish and feed sheep. And so the last thing that I believe the Lord is going to do, He's going to raise up shepherds in our midst. So what does this look like specifically? Okay, Richard, you're saying we're going to have three conversations, catching fish, the love conversation, and feeding and tending sheep. What does this translate into practically? Give us practical examples. And so that's what I'm going to spend the last few minutes sharing with you. And it gets very, very kind of practical. And so we've prayed, with the leadership have prayed, me and Jolene have prayed. And I felt the Lord saying we need to focus on six focus areas for 2018. And I'm going to speak about those all individually. The first one is Sunday services. Second one, intercession, small groups, a building project that we're about to embark on, social justice, and the final one, discipleship. There's a lot of other things that we can also focus on. But I believe the Lord is calling us to really hone in and to put all our energy and focus and attention on these six areas. So the first thing is Sunday services. So like I said to the leaders, I've never pastored the church before I came here. I've looked after big districts and a lot of small groups in Stellenbosch, but I've never had the responsibility of looking after a flock. And so the first thing me and Jolene did when we heard we're being called here, we phoned all the pastors in Shofar that are getting it right. So the Andre Krugers in East London, Andre and Sonica, the Andries van der Merwes, the Val who preached the other day, whose church is booming in Malmesbury, Ross and Machrit, the people that are really getting this whole church thing right, this pastoring thing right. And we Skyped with them and we went and had coffee with them for 2 or 3 hours. And we said, please, just we're listening. Tell us everything you know. Tell us all the mistakes that you've made that we don't need to make them as well. And so they shared a couple of things. The one thing that they said is we need to put a lot of effort and focus and attention on our coming together on a Sunday. And so I started reading up about this on the internet a little bit. And one of the articles that Sia sent to us was called Eight Reasons Why People Come Back to Your Church. Very, very insightful article. And you won't believe some of the reasons why people come back to church. So, in fact, I want to ask, what do you think is the number one reason that people come back to your church? Now, the leaders, they've already heard this, so you're not allowed to answer. So the rest of you, what to listen to? Okay, so I've got the Word of God, yeah? That's a good one. Biscuits, I've got biscuits. You know, the funny thing is I've heard a quote from Reinhard Bonker. He said, the less Holy Spirit you have, the more cookies and coffee you need. So Reinhardt is hardcore. We believe in cookies and coffee in this church, so don't worry. We're not taking any cookies and coffee. But it makes you think a little bit, okay? Somebody else said something here. Feel welcome. Yes, so that whole thing of feeling welcome when you come to church. So I've got the word, feeling welcome, cookies and coffee. What else? Love. Man, you got who's... Love and family. Amen. It's like you guys have been reading the article, eh? The one thing that you haven't said, the number one reason, according to the survey in North American churches, the number one reason why people come back to your church is if they experience God. That makes you think, eh? So we can have cookies and coffee and light boxes and sound systems and everything. If God's not there, according to statistics, not according to some Christian thing, according to statistics, people will not come back to your church. People come to church for God. That's our reward. If He meets with us, hallelujah. And that's why Jolene brought that incredible word for us. That was the word for us. We need to create space for the Holy Spirit in our services. That's the main thing people come to church for. The second thing was the word. In fact, that was the third thing. The second thing is an important one. It's if people trust the leadership. It's the role of leadership is so important. The word. Worship actually wasn't such a big deal. They said as long as the people don't sing false, then it's all right. People will come. We praise the Lord. In our band, nobody sings false. They're all wonderful, okay? The other main reason why people come back to your church because of your kids' church. So they say, you're going to have an amazing experience, amazing time of worship, amazing word. But if little Johnny had a bad experience in your kids' church, they're going to try the church down the road. Now, that's not the main reason why we're going to put a massive focus on kids' church in 2018. The reason why we're going to put a massive focus on kids' church is because Jesus said we must look after and feed and tend the lambs as well as the sheep. But kids' church, if you just want to look for growth levers to pull in your church in terms of growing your church, that's one of the top ones. Kids' church is essential. So we've been praying a lot about that. So that's Sunday service is a big deal. We're going to start praying a lot more for Sunday services. On Sunday mornings, we're going to be coming together as leadership teams and interceding for the services. I tell you, if God moves in these services, you're going to have a lot less meetings in the week because a lot of problems are going to be sorted out here on a Sunday morning. So Sunday service is a big thing. We're going to start getting passionate about Sunday. Sundays is going to be a big deal for us. And you know what? The rest of this town is going to start knowing it as well. We're going to be confident inviting other people to experience what we're experiencing on a Sunday morning. Number one. Number two, intercession. I was a bit naughty and I put this picture of this pastor, this solo figure, interceding for the church. Because this is how our intercession has been for quite a long time. So the pastor's praying, Lord, please send the other intercessors to come pray for our church. Ours is actually slightly better than that because a realistic weergawe or picture would be Tani Betsy on that side and Tani Joanne on this side. We had three people until recently. But hallelujah, that has changed. On Thursday evening, we had 10 people at intercession. I think that deserves a round of applause. And you know what? It's a small start. But the Lord has spoken clearly to Jolene, especially to Jolene and to my heart. The things that we need to do in 2018 are going to be birthed in intercession. Now, I'm going to prophesy and speak. Intercession is going to become one of the most exciting and powerful meetings in our church. That's why we took a precious slot on a Thursday evening where we're normally doing some marriage course or some course, and we said, we're booking it out. Intercession moves from early on a Wednesday morning when most people are on their way to work to 7 o'clock on a Thursday evening. It's just 1 hour, 7 to 8, not a minute past 8. And we had an amazing time on Thursday night just interceding, praying for 10 things, including parliament and everything on the Friday. It was powerful. And I believe that meeting is just going to grow. In fact, the next time we meet, we're going to be meeting in here. So intercession is going to be a major focus for us. The third thing, small groups. I've had a couple of leaders come and speak to me and share a couple of things around small groups. And what I want to say to this church is you've got amazing small groups. Amazing small groups. You've got amazing small group leaders. You know, one of the biggest blessings of coming to pastor this church is we stepped into a leadership ring where we've got a bunch of mature leaders. I don't have to raise up leaders. I don't think even Tien's had to raise up leaders. These leaders have been coming for years. And so we got great leaders. We've got great small groups. The only things that I've said to them, after the Lord has spoken to me and after some of the leaders have spoken, our small groups are too big. There's no more space for growth. There's no more space for growth in our small groups. And I know, guys, this is uncomfortable to hear, but I'm going to say it boldly. Our small groups are too big. Our small groups are too big. And I remember coming to Stellenbosch 7 years ago and being part of a small group. And we had an amazing small group. We were about 8 or 10 people in that small group. And week after week, you know, we'd have this amazing time of small group. But then the Lord challenged us. There must be new water that flows into this pool. We're becoming stagnant. And so what happens is we become comfortable in those relationships. And that's not a bad thing. Christ made us to be relational. And it was uncomfortable when that district leader came to me and says, you need to multiply. And I said, what? No. Never. That's not us. We love each other. We're going to be in small group till we go to the old age home. You know what? It was uncomfortable in the beginning. And then new people, new blood started flowing in, man, and the dynamics changed. And some people said, "Maar hulle, ek gaan nie my goed deel met hulle nie. Jy weet, hulle ken my nie." Ach man, 2-3 months later, they were their best buddies, you know, and they were sharing all their personal stuff. I tell you, there's something that kicks in when we open to the fact that new water, new blood is going to start flowing. And we're going to break it down to the core. And a whole bunch of people that are sitting in small groups now, you're going to be small group leaders in 2018. And we're going to start multiplying. Things that are small can multiply. Once they get too big, it becomes really complex to multiply something. And so that's the amazing thing that the Lord has spoken to us. The picture that the Lord gave me so specifically. He said, you need to go and buy new fishing nets. If you go to that next slide. We need to buy fishing nets. We're going to go fishing next year. We need new fishing nets. We're going to mend the old fishing nets, but our old fishing nets, they're great. We need more fishing nets. Which means we need more small group leaders to bring people in and to look after them. More nets, more shepherds. Small groups, that's the third thing. Number four, the building project. Guys, I'm so excited about this. I feel I can't sleep at times. But the Lord has spoken clearly to us. Who remembers the morning Stephen Lungu came and shared a few months back? It's only about 3 months ago. And what did he say to us? He said, when I come back, I don't want you in the same building. Who remembers that? When I come back, I don't want to see you in the same building. Since then, we've had at least 2 or 3 other words, clear words, as people have prayed for us and for the leadership. Extend the tent pegs. Maak die skip groter. Maak die skaapkrale groter. I'm telling you, I'm not coming up with that idea. We've got enough work yet to do as it is. But the Lord has spoken to us, extend your capacity to catch fish and to look after sheep. And so Tiens has already started that process for us of the building project, and it's done all the groundwork and got plans drawn up for us. And so that's the plans that we got over here. I'm just going to be sharing around phase 1 here quickly. Phase 1 is this green part over here. So basically, this is the long part of the building. So yeah. So basically, if you had to flip it like this, you would know where we are now. So basically, I'm standing preaching at you this way. And so basically, what we're going to do, phase 1 of our building project, is to extend this wall back 9 meters, 9.2 meters. It's the space that we've got on that side. I think you can, you know, see that this morning, when we have a relatively big service, there's not too much capacity for growth. And so we, in effect, we're actually sending signals that growth is capped right now. And so what we're going to do is we're going to take this wall back 9 meters. They're going to start building, I would imagine, in the first quarter of next year. And we're meeting on Tuesday night as the building committee. And we're making a call on who we're going to appoint. We've got 4 quotes in. And we're going to extend this whole wall basically back 9 meters, basically take or build a new stage, a concrete stage, and then take all of this that way. And that's going to give us space for about an extra 100 chairs, okay? So initially it might feel a bit crick in here, and there might be a lot of space there at the back, but I've got a plan for that, so don't worry. We're going to do a lot of fellowship in the back like they do in other churches, and you grow into your space. But the Lord is saying to us, make the ship bigger, make the sheep pen bigger. And so phase one is moving that 9 meters back. So what we're going to do is we're going to do that whole building project. We're not even going to know about it. They're going to build all of that on that side. And in the final week, they're going to knock this wall through of this. And the next week, we will be ready for church in our bigger venue. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. It's very, very exciting. The other part that the leadership felt is part of phase one. I got seriously excited about phase two, but I'm parking that for now. This morning we're talking about phase one. The Lord said to us, if all these people are going to come, we're going to become fishers of men. And the Lord is speaking to us about feeding the lambs. There are going to be a lot of young ones that are going to come in here. And at the moment, our children's church teachers, they are surviving up there. You know, it's like, I think the year 2 to 8s are in the same venue. Now, I don't know if you've ever had 32 to 8-year-olds in one little venue. It's pretty chaotic. So they're kind of just surviving the services. And so they're pleading with us, please do something. And so so what we're going to be doing is in the parking lot there at the back, as you actually drive up here, on the right-hand side, we're going to be creating a new venue for children's church. And so we're looking at all the options. We're looking at quick housing options. It's called Quick Space. It's what the Department of Education uses. Very, very impressive kind of classrooms that they build with aircon and plugs and electricity and insulation. And we're going to plant a lot of grass there and jungle gyms. And we're going to create an amazing space for the lambs to be fed. And so I'm personally very, very excited. We're going to be putting a lot of focus on our kids' church going forward. The final thing that I just want to say around this whole thing of creating space, we don't just have a church here or be built at ons ook 'n kerk. At the moment, we've got enough space there. So praise the Lord. That venue, the rugby club, is still serving us in an amazing way. And there's a lot of growth that needs to take place. So in that sense, our venue is great there at the top. What I have said to them is, that venue must look as nice as this venue. So you'll see Moja's built wooden casings for that side. They get proteas and flowers. There's no distinction. The same thing that happens here must happen there as well. So I'm very, very excited about what the Lord is going to do to the world. Amen. Okay, our second last one over there. The Lord has been speaking extremely clearly around social justice. So we as the leadership have been praying all year. Been coming through in our intercession, and then those that were at Convergence will remember Friday night, Courtney Becker said, pure and undefiled religion is this, that you take care of the widows and orphans in their distress. Saturday main session, Pastor Ross Funiker, stand between the living and the dead, and he shared how they adopted their heart towards streams of social justice. So I cannot deny it. The Lord has spoken to us about orphans, about homeless children, and we've already started that again. Tiens, I'm so glad that you are here this morning. We can just honor Tiens for doing all the groundwork, for the building project, for Kibwe. He's already set all those things in motion that we can just step into this morning. So we've got a really, really exciting idea and concept for all our community development and for Kibwe. I can't quite share around that. A couple of blocks still need to fall into place, but when that does, we're going to launch that in a big way. What I can share at this stage is people like Yanni and David, I don't know if they're here this morning, but Yanni and David have just organically just started training up musicians from the township, from Grundal, mostly underprivileged areas. Yeah. And they got nearly 10 students that they're lecturing on a weekly basis. They're going to be building out that music school in a massive way. In fact, they're launching it next Sunday. I've asked them to launch it when Uncle Graham shares next Sunday. They're going to be launching the music, I want to call it workshop or project, and we're going to hear more about that. The second thing that we're going to be doing is Sister Liesl here in the front, she's going to be launching a sewing project as part of our community development. She's been in the industry for 20 years. She's a professional seamstress, and she's already done this. Everything that we're going to be doing next year, we trained in. And what a privilege to have Liesl taking the young ladies under our flag, and she's going to impart skills to them. Amen. Give her a hand. Liesl. And so we're going to be working a lot closer with Evelyn and the children. We're going to be getting a lot more involved. And the Lord is really preparing us as a church, stirring our hearts to embrace all of these things under one roof. So I'll share a bit more about that. The last thing I want to touch on this morning is just general discipleship and ministry. You know, there's so many things that we can focus on. When I shared this with the leadership, they said, but what about missions? And I said, we will always do missions. In fact, you know, when Johnny's going to the Ukraine next year, I think September and October, I'm going to India. Hopefully I can join him in the Ukraine as well. Well, we will always be involved in mission. What I want to say around missions is next year, the main mission fields is this valley over here. We will do international missions. We will reach out to the rest of this country and this province. But the main thing I felt the Lord is saying, our mission field is down the road. And so that's one of the main things. The other thing is Stefan and his men's events are Friday men's events are still going to be going. What we're going to tweak the men's breakfast model slightly. We're going to go for one big event a quarter. So Stefan, ek nog nie met jou gepraat nie, maar ek het groot gedroom. So our first men's event over here is going to be called the Men's Big Day Out, and we're going to have a tent here, we're going to have a band here, we're going to have archery, we're going to have karre, mooi karre om na te kyk, ons gaan pootjie kos, ons gaan spit braai, ons gaan groot gaan, and then we're going to preach the gospel. But we're going to invite all of us, all the men sitting here, we're going to bring at least two unsaved colleagues or people that we know to that men's event. The focus of our men's event is going to be evangelism. Evangelism and reaching out. Sia said he's going to come preach at our event. And then Stefan's going to look after the men with the rest of his meetings. We're going to do two awaken events. Jolene's got some plans for that, so she's going to share with the ladies what you are going to do in February and in August. And then Venora is carrying on with the women's ministry. She's got a great women's ministry meeting every second Saturday. I would encourage you, if you don't join that yet, please join her. The ladies are praying together and sharing really amazing things together. Bible school will always be a focus for us, so David and his team we'll carry on with it. And then there will always be other ministries. There's marriage ministry. We want to do a finance ministry next year as well. But we need to focus. I really feel the Lord is saying we can't do everything. I've been there trying to do too much. Calendar is smashed. Events back to back. You burn out and you lose focus. And in the end, you become kind of an inch thick and, you know, a mile wide. And your impact becomes less. So I really believe that the Lord, through Jolene and I and through the leadership, has called us to focus on these six areas. Is anybody excited about this?
Yes.
Amen. So as the band comes up, I want us to stand together. Now the word of God in Psalm 16 verse 3. Sorry, Proverbs 16:3. It says, commit your work to the Lord and He will establish your plans. Proverbs 16:3. Commit your work to the Lord and He will establish your plans. And so that's what I'm wanting us to do this morning. But before we do that, I've got a final slide up for you with three questions. That's the right one. And the first question that I'm wanting to ask us all this morning, I'm not going to call anybody to the front this morning in particular, but the first question I'm wanting us to respond to as a church this morning after listening to this is, are you ready to love more people? And the Lord has come and He's challenged me very, very clearly. He says, Richard, this is amazing. You've got all these amazing plans, building projects and exciting things. And we can get excited about that, but we can also get carried away and we can lose focus. What this is all about. And He took me back to the original word He said when He gave me, when He said, come here. And the conversation that me and Him had was around love. He said, are you ready to love people? I was panicking about coming and being a pastor. He says, don't panic. Just open your heart and let me give you the capacity to love people. And so everything that I'm speaking about, all 6 points, all the exciting ideas, if it's not underpinned by love and a conviction to love people, then we can leave all of this. Then we can carry on. We carry on as we are. The Lord will be fine with that. But what we're not going to do is run in a direction and get excited about things and miss the whole point. And so the challenge I want to put you this morning, I'm just putting out the challenge. You don't even need to respond to the challenge. I just want you to reflect on the challenge, because we're going to spend the whole half of next year getting ready for the challenge, getting equipped, getting understanding what it means to be a fisherman, understanding what it means to be a shepherd. We're going to go on a training course together. And God, not me, God and the Holy Spirit is going to make us fishers of men and fishers of women. So don't panic. He's told us that the boat must be bigger. Die skaap kraal moet groter wees. The Lord must lead us in this. But what He wants us to reflect on today is the state of our hearts. And so all I want you to do today is to say, yes, I'm open to be challenged to love more people. And if you're like me, you're way selfish and you'll say, Lord, I'm not there yet. I'm way too concerned about my household and my things and my needs. And the Lord's going to take us on a journey to love others, because that's how we will be known in this church. We will be known, hashtag known for love. And Christ said, you want to be my disciples? You know how the people in this town will know that you're my disciples? By your love. And so I feel called to challenge you. If that's you, every eye closed, I'm not going to call anybody front to the front. If you're ready to say, Lord, give me a bigger capacity in my heart to love people, I want you to raise your hand right now. You don't have to raise your hand. It's a big challenge. I'm not forcing anybody. Don't feel pressured. This doesn't come naturally for everybody. But thank you for your faith. Thank you for every hand that's raised. So Father, I pray for our hearts. I pray for our hearts, Lord, to be enlarged. Lord, come and give us a greater capacity to love people. Lord, we know, Lord, it's not there yet. Lord, we know we're selfish. Lord, we know, God, we run after our own things and we love ourselves and our own needs and our own desires. But Lord, start the miracle today, Lord. Before we step into 2018, Lord, I thank you for every hand that said, yes, I'm ready to be challenged to love more people. Amen. The second thing I want to ask you is, are you ready to catch more fish and feed sheep? Hopefully you understand what that means. We're not all natural fishermen. Let me tell you, I'm not a natural fisher of men. But Jesus said He will make us fisher of men. And so again, I want to challenge you. If you're like me and you're not a natural fisher of men and women, but you want to be challenged and say, yes, Lord, that's me. Challenge me to become a fisher of men. Raise your hand this morning. God responds to our response. Amen. Thank you for those hands. And the final thing, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for every leader, Lord, that's already in place. But this morning, I thank you for the new leaders that you are going to raise up in this church. Sitting here, standing here right now, you don't even know that you're a leader. I prophesy over you, the Lord is going to raise you up. The Lord will raise you up. I speak it over you, church, this morning. We will have more shepherds in this church. More shepherds for the sheep that are coming. And so I thank you, Father, that you start stirring their hearts. Lord, that you start speaking to them, that you start giving them words, Lord. That you start the work of raising up the shepherds in our midst, Lord. And so lastly, Lord, we do as your word says in Proverbs 16:3. Lord, we commit all of this. We commit, Lord, I on behalf of this church this morning, commit our work to you. Commit our plans to you. And I stand on your word that says you will establish it. And so we trust for this morning, Lord. We trust for next year, Lord, as we kind of peek into next year, Father God. We lay everything at your feet, Lord, and we say, Lord, take away that which is not of you, Lord, and add that which is of you. But Lord, as we, the best we could have heard and seen, Lord, we commit this work, we commit this plan, Lord, we commit our dreams, our desires, Father God, at your feet, Lord, and we say, your will be done and not ours, Father. And we stand on your word that says, you will establish our work, you will establish our plans. And we give you praise and we give you glory for that promise, Lord. And we rest in that promise, Lord, that you are establishing us, Lord. God, hallelujah, that you are building your church, Lord. Oh, Father, I just feel we need to give him praise that he's going to build this church. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I really feel the Lord is going to do this work. And it takes a lot of pressure off us in the leadership to trust where all this funding and all these things are going to come from. But he's already started showing himself very faithful. And praise the Lord that he's building his church. So thank you. Thank you for partnering with us. I felt it's important to share this message with you before we step into next year. That as we go into a time of resting over the next few weeks, that the Lord already starts stirring in our hearts around these three things, about becoming fishers of men, about loving Christ, and about becoming shepherds for him. Amen. Mm-hmm.